I know that our Old Testament lesson was really long. But honestly, if I could have made it longer, I would have. I decided, though, that reciting the 16 preceding chapters of 1 Samuel was probably a bit much for 8 o'clock on a Sunday morning. So I'm going to offer you a very brief synopsis of 1 and 2 Samuel. These books contain the stories of the change, an extraordinary change in the way that Israel is governed. Until this time, various tribes occasionally would join forces to fight off threats from other nations. The earlier written book of Judges tells us how the Spirit of God would settle upon an individual, and then that person would go on to lead the tribes on that particular occasion. But there came a time when the Israelites wanted more control over their destiny. Samuel was the last of the judges, and during his time in this role, the Israelites demanded that God give them a king. So it fell on Samuel to mediate the struggle between those who wanted a monarch and those who trusted that God would continue to lead them and keep them safe. In our lesson 2 weeks ago, God told Samuel to listen to the voice of the majority, and name Saul as their king. So Samuel goes out, and he anoints Saul in the name of the Lord. He becomes king. He's commissioned to defeat the Philistines who threatened the survival of Israel. But Saul was a terrible king. He was a disappointment from beginning to end. And chapter 16 tells us why. He was disobedient. He was full of excuses. He never held himself accountable for all the things that he did wrong. In last week's reading, we heard of Samuel going and secretly anointing the young David. This would be Saul's successor when he was the right age. The Spirit of the Lord falls upon David and at the same time departs from Saul. Saul instead receives an evil spirit. He's tormented for the rest of his life, and the only time he can find relief, ironically, is when David plays the lyre for him. And so today, we come to the story of David and Goliath. Now, I know that you know this story, or at least bits of it, whether you grew up in the church or not. As a 2-year-old, our son was completely obsessed by this story. We read it literally every night for 5 consecutive weeks. He could not hear the story enough about the brave little boy. It was worthy of repetition, too. It's a message of God using an insignificant person to accomplish improbable acts. David is a youth with beautiful and ruddy complexion. He's too young to serve in Saul's army, and the only reason he's at the battlefield is because he's bringing sandwiches to his brothers. He's too young to serve. When he arrives, though, he hears Goliath relentlessly ridiculing the Israelites. David can see that the giant is disobeying God. So he asks, who is this man who is to defy the armies of the living God? Everyone's too scared. No one will do anything. So David tells Saul, don't be afraid of this Philistine because I will go and fight him myself. David steps forward. He's too small to even carry the weight of the armor. There's nothing to protect his body. But because of his faith in God, David is not afraid. He runs to the battle line, he pulls a smooth stone out of his bag, and in the same way he defends his sheep from lion and bears, he pelts the giant right on the forehead and brings him to the ground instantly. I mean, it's a great story for children. But as adults, I'm wondering what there is for us to learn from it as well. I know that I need the reminder constantly that even the youngest, most unassuming people can make a huge difference, or in the case of David, can save an entire people. This is the main reason why my husband Eric and I decided that we wanted to be parents. We love the idea of raising creative, loving, passionate children who we would raise and then launch out into the world to make a difference. Praying that we had done our jobs of equipping them with all the tools they needed to be independent, free-thinking people that could leave the world a better place. A dozen or so years into parenting, we're still dreaming on behalf of our children, wondering what amazing things that they will go on to accomplish in their life. Will our son's passion for fairness lead him to working for justice issues, or his craving for knowledge and new ideas lead to a life of exploration? We have a daughter whose natural curiosity for all creatures in the animal kingdom might end up drawing her into veterinary medicine, or maybe her reflective nature and her ear for music lead her into a life as a singer or songwriter. They, of course, dream for themselves, as all children do so well. At 6 years of age, our son decided, even though he had zero artistic ability, he wanted to be a painter, which was lovely. And then at 9, he was going to be a DNA scientist. And over the past year, he decided maybe a courtroom judge or an elementary math teacher. Our 3-year-old wanted to grow up to plant clovers for horses to eat. And now she's thinking about every possible career that involves animals. Kids have these majestic aspirations when they're young. They feel, like David, that they can overcome any obstacle. They can accomplish anything, no matter how giant it may be. But then somewhere along the way, they lose this gift of dreaming. And it could be that their interests change, they change their minds. But I know in my case, and maybe for yours, it was more likely an adult who came in and squashed their dream, thinking it would be better for them to live in the real world with more practical ideas for their future. David reminds us that it's okay to dream. It's good to set goals for yourself and then to work to reach them. It's good to believe in yourself when nobody else does. It's good because God is there, believing in us too. Unlike so many adults, God will not remind us that painters usually can't financially support themselves and that actually no one needs to plant clovers in order for them to grow. But David shows us that if we have faith in God, we can accomplish the most inconceivable task. Honestly, I myself am not much of a dreamer. My husband calls me the dream killer for our family. I am more likely to be content with the life that I'm currently living than dream about something in the future that may or may not happen. I don't tend to set personal goals or vocational dreams for myself. But this week, I've really thought about it. What if I could dream up something in the future? What would it be? And I realize that there are plenty of Goliaths standing in my way for the world that I would like to live in. Hate and racism, violence, these are my Goliaths. They're big and they're daunting and they feel impossible to defeat. They stand there, relentlessly tormenting us day after day, every time we hear the news. It's easy to become a member of this Israelite army, too shocked, too terrified to act. But that is when it's important to dream. My dream is that one day, as a human family, we will inhabit the peaceable kingdom that the prophet Isaiah describes so beautifully, with the wolf lying down with the lamb and the leopard lying down with the kid, the calf and the lion and the fatling together, and a little child there leading them. I know that this peaceable kingdom seems unattainable. However, as Christians, we must keep this dream alive. We must keep it at the forefront of our faith. We must actively yearn for that place where no one will harm or destroy another child of God. What is your dream? I invite you to think about it this week. David was sustained in his great moment of crisis, not because of his brute strength, but because of his faith in God and that God supported him. God unwaveringly opposes all who prey on human happiness and well-being. Ours is a God of justice who is committed to the preservation of faithful people and to the defense of those who can't defend themselves. Because of David's faith in and understanding of God, he knows that he can take down this giant Philistine because God is with him. David knows that Goliath will be defeated, not because David is stronger or smarter, but because God is stronger and smarter. David knows that God will use him, just like I know that God will use all of us to bring about the peaceable kingdom. David shows us that even the smallest of children can step forward with more courage than an entire army of adults and make a difference in the world. And so my hope is that no matter how old you are, or no matter where you are in your life's journey, you won't be afraid to set a lofty goal or a dream for yourself. I hope that you will dare to dream big for whatever children are in your life, taking their aspirations seriously rather than pointing out the things that just seem too far beyond possibility. God believes in each one of you, and I hope that you believe in yourself too. Amen.
Good timing.
People are doing that out there.
Yeah.
I invite you now to stand and reaffirm your faith with the words of the Nicene Creed.